We give you all the viral stories that are just about to drop. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please don't let this flop. If you keep scrolling, scrolling, scrolling and you're never gonna stop, then please, oh please, oh please, oh please don't let this flop. From stupid songs and dances, all the cultural advances, we will cover them from bottom to the top. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please, I promise you'll appease our please, oh please, you please don't let this flop.
Welcome to Don't Let This Flop, the podcast about TikTok where millennials talk about teens, but not in a weird way. I'm EJ Dixon.
And I'm Brittany Spanos.
So, Brittany, you saw Måneskin.
Yes.
2 nights ago.
Yeah,
Am I pronouncing that right?
Måneskin. It's Dutch for moonlight. They're an Italian rock band, but the name comes from the Dutch word for moonlight. Måneskin.
That's so cosmopolitan.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have been obsessed with them since I saw Eurovision over the summer. But I think, like, for anyone, if you've been scrolling through your TikTok For You page, you've definitely gotten at least one of their songs. Like, there's been about 3 to 4 of their songs have gone viral on TikTok since they won Eurovision in June. And this is really the hottest band of the year, according to both the competition and TikTok users, because the songs are blowing up. And they're also, like, literally very hot. So, oh, mamma mia, mamma mia, you wanna touch my body, I see you not allowed. You wanna handle me, but I'm a bit too much. I'll burn all the place down, cause I'm too fucking hot. If you haven't listened to them yet, they're very glammy, poppy, hard rock band from Italy. Like, they love, like, they work with Iggy Pop. They, like, have, like, that kind of 70s look and sound. And they competed in Eurovision this year. And it was kind of a big deal for them to win because, one, Italy hadn't won in many years. 2, there has been a rock band that's won Eurovision.
So explain what Eurovision is.
Oh, yeah. So Eurovision is basically an annual competition where each country in Europe submits an artist, basically, and that artist mm-hmm. competes. It's like Miss Universe almost, where you have, like, one person competing on behalf of this country and they are representing the country, but they have one song they compete with. There's multiple rounds. It's really exciting. The songs are so fun, like, kind of insane sometimes, like a mixture of, like, ballads and, like, fun dance songs. But for mm-hmm. the voting round, it's, like, super long because you have, like, each country submitting who they voted for. And it's usually, like, a lot of politics around it. So at the end of that round, Italy, like, Måneskin was kind of in the middle. Like, it didn't seem like they would win. But the popular vote is what got everyone, completely shook up all of the votes. It was like watching, it's what I assume watching a sports game is similar to.
Yeah, we wouldn't know.
It was, like, super intense. Mm-hmm. And they won by a landslide. Like, the popular vote was insane. And so this was, like, a really strange Eurovision, too, because there's a lot of people watching outside of Europe. There's a lot of Americans watching, a lot of, like, people just, like, who wouldn't usually, where it's not usually broadcast here. But there was a lot of songs going viral on Twitter, on Instagram. Like, people were, like, sharing them because the performances were really fun. I think it was just, like, also really fun for people to see a concert happening. This was before concerts came back to the U.S. Like, you know, concerts not in the areas where they decided COVID wasn't real. Where that was happening kind of off and on throughout the year. But, like, for a lot of people, they hadn't been to a concert in a long time. And they were watching, like, this gigantic concert happening in Europe.
So I have a question. Before we get back to Måneskin.
Yeah.
So Eurovision, it's a European thing. That's yeah. why it's, like, not super big in the U.S. I do remember seeing it at a gay bar in Chelsea. And that was really fun that everybody yeah. was just, like, drinking mimosas and, like, screaming their heads off at Eurovision. But has anybody actually, like, blown up internationally as a result of winning this contest or placing in this contest?
Yes, and it's been a really long time since that happened because that's also why Måneskin's success this year is so strange and so hilarious and amazing and great to see. But the two biggest acts to come from Eurovision are ABBA and Celine mm-hmm. Dion.
Celine Dion's from Eurovision?
She competed. She's Canadian, but she competed on behalf of Switzerland in a way that I don't fully understand. but I also didn't understand why Flo Rida was performing with, like, a really small country this year. There's like, he also appeared at Eurovision. It's very
Flo Rida.
Yeah, he was.
But Flo Rida's from Florida. That's literally his name.
Yeah, and he was like the guest artist on a song that, like, I think the country is like San Marino or something, like a really, really small country.
Oh yeah, because everyone's rich there, so yeah. It was probably some like billionaire who was like, I want this country to win. Yeah, let's call up Flo Rida. You know, like he's third tier. Let's get him.
We've seen people kind of blow up briefly, but we haven't seen like an artist actually get a hit from Eurovision in decades now.
So why was this band so big? Like, why did people just fall in love with Måneskin? What is it about them?
Well, first and foremost, they're all super, super hot. Like, let's, you know, like they are all like, they're four members of the band. They're all like in their early 20s. And they are just like, they exude sex. Like, that's the entire, what they sing about constantly is sex. Like, they kind of give off that like solo Harry Styles appeal where mm-hmm. their sexualities are like very ambiguous, like clearly kind of like they're very clearly fluid, both in the gender and sexuality sense. Right. Like they dress very flamboyantly. Like the lead singer wears dresses all the time. Like when I saw the concert, the bassist Victoria was literally just wearing like X's of like titty tape over her nipples and like a girdle, which is just incredible. I was like, I don't know how you're like up there performing with that, and that's amazing. And like it was just like, so like they're just like, so they're hot, they're shirtless all the time, they're making out with each other all the time. And not only was their performance of their song ZD Bwani like incredible, they did such a great job, the song did really well, but they were hilarious in the press room right after they won. Like they were like popping champagne, they were clearly wasted because the voting period takes so long. There was a point where it looked like Damiano, the lead singer, was snorting coke off the table, which went immediately viral. He denied it, but like, it just like, especially with their look of being very 70s rock stars, was very fitting. Just like, you know, they're just like hot. They're hot. And the music is really good. The music is very glammy. It's very catchy. It's very fun. You know, it's high energy. It's like exactly, you know, what a type of band you want to see live. Like you're like dying to see a band like this live. And they're just like a super hot, fun band. Like they kind of have the musical chops that match how hot they are.
So my exposure to them is fairly limited. I told you about for their new single, Mamma Mia, the lead singer made a TikTok where he it was like a fairly straightforward video where he was just like lip syncing the lyrics and it ends with him like doing the cunnilingus sign. Like, and I thought, you know, maybe I'm a little old. I thought that was a little distasteful. I thought that was a tad much.
He would have hated the concert then.
Did he do that the whole concert? Was the concert just like a nonstop cunnilingus?
I mean, like,
fest?
I think it's also because there are certain things that I think that comes off less cheesy from them because they're Italian, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's because, like, it's like it's like they're like very, very Italian about it. And it's like hot, but it's also just like less cheesy. Like, it's just kind of like hot that they do it. It's funny to kind of see them in concert and kind of see that similar, you know, not to keep comparing to Harry Styles, but he's the only artist I listen to. But like, just like that fact of like, I think a lot of people project a lot of their own sort of like fantasies and desire onto this band, and to watch it in real time in a concert is always like really fascinating and amazing to see. Just because like,
people like fingering themselves on the floor? Like,
no, people were like losing their minds. So like the band themselves, they're like very hypersexual during the show. And like, you know, like Damiano is like letting people like smack his butt. Some girl threw a thong at him. He put it on. It was just like stuff like that. Like they're doing like all these like moves. Like he was licking the guitarist Thomas's guitar the entire time. Like it was just like very like over the top, but it was very fun. And then they brought a bunch of people on stage to like dance around for the last song. And I remember leaving, and this girl who was very clearly like 15, 16. It was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I was on stage. We have to find the after party. I was like, you're not going to find the after party, my girl.
No,
like,
no, sweetie.
You literally have braces on. They're not going to let you in.
No, these guys are like, if they're blowing up, like they are NDA'd, lawyered up, like they are not going near.
Oh, but you also
you,
like
sweetie.
Very clearly look like a child. No one's going to let you in. Like you're 15.
That's like the negative influence of Wattpad working. Like everybody is living in a Wattpad fantasy. Yeah, I mean, they seem very like the analog for me is The Darkness, that band that blew up with them, I Believe in a Thing Called Love. And they didn't really last very long. It was kind of, and we kind of knew it at the time. Like it was, you know, very, they were capitalizing off the 70s glam revival and it was very kitschy and flash in the pan. And they had that one hit and then they kind of evaporated. But I think these guys, I think these guys have a little bit more staying power than that, even though they have a very similar aesthetic. If only because they're very hot.
Yeah, they're very hot. But I also think like The Darkness aesthetic was meant to be funny, right? Like there was a certain level of like Weird Al-ness to it, where like it was very much supposed to be kitsch in that sense. Like this is very, they're very much in, this is the style that they like. Like this is like the, and also the clothes that they wear are very similar to what's popular right now, right? Like what's popular right now is that sort of 70s glam flared pants, like lots of prints, you know, kind of just like this very, very Studio 54 type of vibe. And so that's already kind of blowing up even before them. And I, again, like it's because of some of the artists that have been blowing up. You know, you have like a lot of the disco songs from last year. Mm-hmm. And that's, they kind of fit into that. Like they came at kind of the perfect time. Like they've existed for a few years now, but for them to have won Eurovision when they did, they came at the right time where the style has come back into fashion. And because it also is very much tied to the actual influences of their music, like what they actually listen to and what they enjoy and what they're drawn to, it sort of coalesces pretty perfectly.
Moving on from something very cool to something very uncool. The brands have had a big week on TikTok for very different reasons. Let's start with the positive, because we're nothing but good vibes here. The person running the Duolingo account is having what I would say is a mental breakdown of sorts. And the account is completely unhinged for a brand account. The owl, the Duolingo owl, you're familiar with the Duolingo owl.
The Duolingo owl has harassed me more times than I enjoy. I've done it for Spanish and French, which are the two languages I've studied in the past. And every time I fall off, it's like notification after notification, email after email. We miss you. Where are you? It's too much.
Yeah, that's the meme. The meme, the Duolingo owl basically has a reputation. Like the meme is that he's like very... I don't want to assume their gender, so I'm just going to use they, non-binary owl. The owl, you know, is very aggressive and murderous and is like sneaking up from behind with a knife to make sure that you do your language alert, like a very Joe Goldberg from You. And on TikTok, they're going buck wild. They're being sassy. They're starting feuds with Google Translate. they're being horny for Dua Lipa on Maine, and they're twerking to an Adele. Oh, who does the smack my ass like a drum?
Cupcake.
Cupcake, yeah. The Cupcake remix of Adele.
Yeah.
And showing their ass.
In this silence, baby, let me in. Smack my ass.
And they're falling apart. And I love it.
I mean, I think it's just like super fun. Like I've been seeing them in the comments a lot for a lot of videos. Before I started to see the actual videos that they were posting, they were doing like pretty horny content, like comments on various videos and just like really like wacky comments that made no sense. Like, you know, sometimes brands kind of are drawn to the stuff that relates to their brand, right? Like they're commenting on things that like, you know, you see like, Trojan condoms commenting on TikToks about sex or about like, you know, like
Tinder too. Tinder comments on every sex TikTok.
Yeah. So that, you know, they usually are doing like something that's brand appropriate. And what I loved about the Duolingo comments is that none of it was brand appropriate. Like none of it, it was like on like hot people, you know, and like it was like Duolingo commenting like something thirsty, you know, like it's weird. It was weird stuff like that. And I kind of loved it.
Yeah, people have been really into it because it's very authentic. And like the thing that you have to understand about brands on social media, the instinct is always for people to be like, oh, that's cringy. Like there's something very like, how do you do, fellow kids, about United Airlines or Johnson & Johnson or something tweeting about whether it's a bones day or a no bones day.
Yeah.
Like brands definitely, it's an uphill battle for brands on social media, especially TikTok, which is so youth oriented.
Yeah.
But with Duolingo really leaning into the chaotic energy of the owl and sort of pivoting to make the owl not only like, you know, super aggressive, but horny as well.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's kind of how you have to go about doing it on there if you're a brand.
Yeah. And I think like TikTok allows for more experimentation in that way than like, mm-hmm. like brands on Twitter are the worst. Like there's no good brand on Twitter. Like they're all trying really hard to be funny and they all interact with each other in a way that feels so inauthentic. But I think that's also like the nature of Twitter sometimes is like the interactions don't always feel very much like in, I don't know, it's hard for them to feel authentic. But like with TikTok, you can just have a little bit of fun with it. Like Empire State Building, they had one like that was just like sort of like making fun of the One World Trade Center being that like new building. And it was like, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, like, look at her, she's new. And so it's like stuff like that. So it's, you know, like weird stuff that like especially unexpected brands that don't really probably need the social media in that way. Like, I don't know, Empire State Building doesn't need a TikTok account.
No,
to
it doesn't.
It. People know that it's there and they're going to go visit
it. People know that it's there.
Yeah. And so it's like, but you have it and they're doing very well with it. It's very funny.
But in contrast to Duolingo, you have Planters, which went on TikTok that was trying to start a simple contest, being like, hey, you know, we want you guys to write our new jingle. And they got absolutely fucking roasted, pun completely intended, as a result. I think what happened is they really expected people to follow the assignment for some reason. Yeah. And I've seen a few videos that did, but the vast majority are like this.
Peanut butter in my butt. Urinating in that ass called a peanut. Nutting in her mouth, give her anaphylaxis. Pistachios love it when I walk in with a zip. I'll be the first to admit it. Yeah, my flow is trash. Your girl could chew and I'm supposed to be like you getting some cash. And I'm sorry.
Lots of like butts, nuts. Nuts in my mouth, coming in my mouth, like
yeah,
just shit like that.
Which Planters should consider?
They should have considered it. Like, have they ever met a teenager? Like, what did they think was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I see why it's like, why would you want to engage with something when it suddenly becomes like free labor, right? Where you're like writing this jingle, like you're not guaranteed to make money off of. Like, there's no signed contract that Planters will give you money for your jingle. If it's good.
Yeah. And people got really upset about that. They were like, Planters, you know, is trying to steal free labor from us. And, you know, they sort of like smelled out a conspiracy theory, which I'm not sure is necessary. I mean, it seems like a pretty straightforward marketing gimmick.
Yeah. I mean, but there's been a history of that stuff happening, right? Like where people, mm-hmm. there's been like design contests. And I've seen this on TikTok where like designers have been like,
that's true.
I entered this contest or like I interned for this company and like I submitted this pitch and, you know, they used just enough of it where they got away with using it for without like having to pay me. So I get why people are pretty like on edge about it, especially if you've probably been burned before.
I mean, it really speaks to how difficult it is to be a brand on an app populated by teenagers who can smell inauthenticity like a mile away.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk to the goat of so welcome. And we were lucky enough to get the Duolingo TikTok account manager on the podcast. So please welcome Zaria Parvez, the Duolingo owl on TikTok. So Zaria, what is your official title, or is your official title just like Duolingo owl?
So my official title is the social media coordinator.
we've gone fairly deep in the TikTok, and it seems there was something of like a tonal shift with you guys, you know, originally starting out posting standard language instruction videos, and then you started getting in more on the memes and the trends on TikTok. So what accounted for that shift?
Yeah, so honestly, TikTok was, we had this account, it was there, our partnership with ByteDance kind of ended, so it was kind of just laying there, and we were like, look, we're back in the office, the mascot is here, we see it looking at us, so like, why are we not doing anything with it, you know? And then I went to Michaela and I was like, listen, like, I got an idea, I don't know if you'll like it, but let's just go for it. And I think at that point, it was such a big, like, test and learn kind of situation, where like, what's there to lose, you know? So we posted that first video with like the live, laugh, love trend, and people loved it. And I was like, my ego kind of got stroked, you know, and I was like, do I keep going? And so they got really excited with the content that we were pushing out. So I guess that shift is kind of just a natural, like, how do we actually stay with the trends versus creating our own trends?
Yeah. And you mentioned that a little bit earlier, where Duo the Owl as like a character had already been memed a little bit, especially since the app is so good at holding people accountable for keeping up with their lesson. So like, people already sort of had this character that was built on like Twitter and other platforms of like who Duo the Owl is. Like, what did you want to bring to TikTok with this and kind of be able to make it, you know, its own sort of recurring character on the app?
Yeah. So I think, yeah, so the meme's been present on Twitter, and a lot of just like, oh, Duo's going to come after you. And like, how do you show that? And like, how do you really get people who are already on this app to move to another app, our app, or just be reminded of it? So we really leaned into like two things for our TikTok strategy. First off, like, Duo is everywhere. So that was kind of one part of the meme that already existed. But also, like, language learning is fun. So that's why, like, with our commenting to our own content that we also have, we've gone to, like, just, like, literally different corners of the internet, just talking about, like, culture or, like, what, honestly, like, whatever the video is, and just commenting to add onto the conversation. And a lot of comments we'll get back is, like, oh, like, Duo, I forgot that you existed. Got to go do my lesson. And so it kind of was this shift from, like, actively, forcibly talking about language learning to, like, just being part of it and being with them and meeting people where they're at. And the foundation of that meme was a great kickstart place for us to go off of.
Yeah.
So since your TikToks have blown up, we were wondering, like, have new logins, new subscribers to the app increased?
Yeah. So it's only been about a month since our TikTok's really blown up, but we do like have this survey that we give when people first sign up for the app about like, how did you hear about us? And we have seen like a slight uptick into people saying from social media. And we've also seen like on Twitter, a lot of people commenting and like talking about us and being like, oh, we're not going to download Plus because of like Duo twerking on this conference room table. Sorry, I never thought I would say that. So just stuff like that. So we still are tracking results, but I think we have more of like qualitative data right now, more than actually quantitative increase so far.
Yeah. And what's been the most successful video so far?
I think the one where like, it's like, help, the killer is escaping. And it was like Duo just actually chasing Michaela and my other boss.
Help! He's escaping! The killer is escaping! Help me!
And that one just did super well. But I think like Duo's Easy On Me cupcake remix is making its way up there slowly.
Yeah.
So is it part of Duolingo lore now? Because obviously the owl, you know, has a reputation for being like very aggressive and chasing people down when they don't do their lessons. Has Duo killed anyone?
No. Duo, so I mean, I hope not. But like, I guess for us, Duo is very much like, yes, we're aggressive. Yes, we're doing this. But like, the secret and the key to Duo's heart to be like in his good graces is just to do your lesson. So that kind of also comes off like on social when someone will talk about their streak. Like, we actually had a video where somebody said like, oh, I have a 400 and something day streak. And like, the whole audio was just us telling them that they are worthy of life because they have a streak.
Yeah. I mean, Duo also, you've added the little extra something, something with he's a little horny on Main. So I'm wondering, have you gotten in trouble for making Duo a little horny on Main, or was that encouraged in the rebranding?
Oh my God. Great question. So it's actually pretty cool that like, I haven't received too much like backlash from like executive members or other people like on our team in general. I think there's like this general respect that they're like, hey, we're here. You're like Gen Z. What you're doing is working. So like, just make sure you don't make duo too violent. Like that's kind of like the tent poles, and the rest is like, everything's pretty open. And we've like seen a lot of love on Twitter as well. Like people calling out in touch, they're loving the content within our like TikTok content, like comments. So I think that also makes it okay, I guess. And like, even honestly, funny story. So I was in New York City this weekend and I was like at a Starbucks and I was sitting there and like all of a sudden, like these group of middle schoolers walk in. And so honestly, like middle schoolers to me are like the most terrifying breed of human beings.
Absolutely.
And yeah. And people are like the executive team. And I'm like, no, the middle schoolers. And so I had a Duolingo water bottle and they like come up to me and they're like, do you know about the Duolingo TikTok? And I was like, holy shit, like, this is it. Like, I'm done for. Like, I don't know. And I was like, yeah, I actually, like, run it. And they're like, we like it. And that was, like, godsend. Like, you know, angels were singing. And I was like, oh, of course. Awesome. And then they asked to take a photo, which was super cool. So, like, it was just cool to, like, have that experience. But it's funny that, like, people really think, like, internally people are, like, upset at me or the executive team. But it's like, they're like, do whatever, you know? Like, as long as you have a general, like, you have general guidelines. But it's cool to like just, you know, have the free reins to do it, especially as like a junior talent.
Yeah. We've talked a little bit about how TikTok has been historically fairly hostile to brands for exactly the reason that you mentioned, you know, because middle schoolers and teenagers are so cynical. And like the Planters peanut jingle contest being the most notable example recently. So like, what do you think is the key to getting engagement as a brand on TikTok?
So I think like a big part of it is I myself, like I'm 23, I've been on TikTok, I've been using it. And I think I was really given the opportunity to like use a voice that's authentic to people who are my age and get it and talk about it. And like our objective has never been really to like sell content, to get people to download the app. Like it's more like we're here to have a good time. And I think with that mindset and the content we create, we're more willing to take risks. We're more willing to like actually meet people where they're at versus have this like need for people to like get into our content in that sense. And I think part of it's also like our app is free. So it's like, it's great if you download it, but it's not like this big pressure to like get, you know, get users and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's also being in on the joke, which I feel like you and the team have already kind of assessed and have brought into what this TikTok is. And I think there's a lot of brands that have not sort of caught what the joke is with theirs. So what do you think that is with like brands sort of adjusting to new platforms and each one having a different tone? Like how you are on Instagram is going to be different than how you are right on Twitter and how you are on TikTok. Like, you know, what is it about TikTok that makes it so much like you have to be really in touch with what the joke about the brand or what the humor is in the brand on there?
Yeah, I think like the main part is like the audience, at least like our audience that we have, it's so young and so like Gen Z, but even like more like as a 23-year-old, I'm like, I feel like an old Gen Zer here. Like it's often when like I have a 12-year-old nephew and I'm like obviously like looking for his approval at all times. So I'll be like, hey, like this is the idea I'm thinking about. What do you think? I'll get like one word responses like yes or like no, that's stupid. And I think it's just constantly like staying in tune with where people are at. And like as a brand, we've always been like, we want to be fun and playful. And that's like our personality, even to our, like our app, like our sentences are sometimes really weird and just very random. So that's just been part of who we are. So it's like being playful in a way that like really speaks to people. And I think also another key thing that we've just been not in the mood of like making our own trends or our own audio, but like shifting more towards like what's actually already happening and trends that are going on right now.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you so much for chatting today.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
So have you been paying attention to these rumors about Selena Gomez and Chris Evans? I feel like that's very much up your alley.
You know, it is. And I'm honestly shocked I have not seen any of it until you told me about it. Like I have not gotten a single Selena Chris video, even though my TikTok for you page is very often a lot of Chris Evans content.
What are her fans called?
Selenators. It's
what does that mean? What does that mean?
I don't really know. It's like Ariana Naters.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
I don't really.
That sounds like inseminators.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't like that. She should intercede. She should do something about
it. She could have done like a Selenies or something. You know, it's like anything else.
Seleniums.
Yeah. Anything.
That's
else.
A mineral in radishes. Radishes are an excellent source of selenium. My grandpa used to say that. There's a free idea for you, Selena Gomez. There's some free labor. But basically, Chris Evans put up an Instagram story of himself playing the piano. This is so stupid. I can't believe we're talking about this. And people thought they saw Selena Gomez in the reflection of the piano.
Okay. I saw that. But I also saw, after you'd told me this was happening, I sleuthed on TikTok. And there are a ton of videos that put together a lot of paparazzi footage of them leaving restaurants together. Like, he followed her on Instagram a month or two ago. And they were at the same restaurant. They left in the same car. There's a literal photo, a paparazzi photo of them talking outside her car, outside of a studio that they, like, why was Chris Evans in a studio? So there's other evidence. So it's not just the reflection, but there's
okay. That's good
paparazzi
to know.
Because... footage. And I also saw a lot of fan edited photos, and I don't know why those exist, but people were quick. They were quick.
It's like that's good to know because like the image in question, the one that in the piano reflection, it's literally like her shoulder,
yeah,
and like or someone's shoulder, like and a tiny, tiny sliver of brown hair. Like there's no eyes, there's no nose, there's no mouth, there's nothing in that image that would suggest to me that's Selena Gomez. But now that you're providing all this other context,
I think
there's something going on, yeah.
Which is upsetting because I think that Chris Evans and Lizzo were, the possibility of them being together was such a delight. And I was rooting for that to happen. I was like, I hope that they have sex. Maybe they did.
We'll never, we wouldn't know. Actually, we'd know immediately. Lizzo would tell us immediately.
Oh, Lizzo would definitely immediately tell us. We would get like 20 TikTok dances about having sex with Chris Evans. But yeah.
Her eating a salad and fuck Chris Evans. Yeah. But why would they keep this such a, like, what is meriting this level of secrecy?
I think they're both pretty like aggressively private people. Like, I think the thing about with Selena, and this was also kind of fascinating to see in the videos that I found about her and Chris, which, you know, a lot of them kind of ended up coming back to Justin Bieber. And it's very strange that still happens. And it wasn't necessarily like her, it wasn't people being like her and Justin could have been together. It's like, look at the way that she's upgraded from Justin. Like that's like, but it's like in the same way that people still talk about Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, like it's been years and Jennifer Aniston was fully married to someone else in between that. Like I'd rather talk about Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux, but like, No one wants to move on from that relationship in a way that I don't understand because it wasn't a good relationship. Like I was never rooting for Justin and Selena. But like, yeah, I don't know. I think she's remained pretty private about a lot of that stuff. Like, I don't think she's been public with any partner of hers since Justin. And again, it's because her fandom's really intense. Like they bully Hailey Bieber constantly on Instagram, and they bring up Selena and Justin's comments all the time. It's like pretty wild. And so I don't think she's been super public about it. Chris Evans also, I don't think he's been really public about any of his relationships. So they're the two people who like are never like, I have this new thing.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like what's going on, it just because, like, I have no basis for this whatsoever. I just, like, knowing people and knowing what people do and humans do, they're probably just fucking.
Yeah,
honestly.
Probably.
They're probably just fucking, and they just don't, and they don't want it to be that serious. And, like, you know, and I understand that because if the media catches hold of it, it'll be a big thing. Yeah. But I believe this 100% because of how TikTok was so on top of the Anna Marie Tendler, John Mulaney, Olivia Munn news that we talked about last week. Like I, as a result of that, I believe every single celebrity rumor that I see on TikTok, bar none, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, especially with pop, I mean, you know, I'm like in the trenches of pop stan internet, and there are no better sleuths than pop stans. They are the FBI. I'm surprised that they're not hiring them in droves, because pop stans will literally like find anything. They will put things together. They will make sense of it. Like, they will know before you know. They'll know before they know. Like, they will put it all together. And so I don't doubt that, like, you know, what they say is true, because they have the time and the energy, and, like, you know, they will figure it out.
And I also, we're probably going to cut this, but I wanted to ask you if you believe the conspiracy theory about Selena Gomez and Francia Reza breaking up, not being friends after she gave her kidney.
Oh, EJ, I've been on top of that for the last 3 years. You're late. Come on. It's like 3 years old at this point.
I know, but that's the Selena Gomez like conspiracy theory that I see on my For You page, and I love it.
Oh, it's so I haven't gotten that yet. Maybe I'm just not on Selena TikTok yet. But anyway, I need to rectify that, because I find her fascinating. But like, yeah, that's my friend. One of my best friends and I literally are obsessed with that. Like, we've been following that journey, because they stopped interacting. They never have been seen together since then. We have a few minutes, so I want to wrap up, but like, we'll talk about this later.
Okay.
Cause I will talk about this for another 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. Let's do Himbo.
Okay. So as much as I would love to crown Chris Evans as our Himbo of the Week, because he is the Himbo of every week for me personally, I would like to celebrate instead a small business, especially, you know, on this week we're talking about big brands. Let's celebrate a small business. And the Himbos of the Week, Himbos plural, goes to Let's Get Moving KC, which is the TikTok account for a Kansas City-based moving company, which seems to be run and only employed by beautiful buff men.
So smart. So smart.
So the account is perfect for promoting their business, not just because they're hot, but they're also really, really funny. And they give these great responses to all the extremely thirsty commenters on their page to basically like rework the comment to be about moving. And my favorite that just came out was a user asked if one of them could rearrange his insides, because technically like they will rearrange your insides, but it's only if you're referring to your new home. So let's hear their incredible response to that.
Tim wants you to rearrange his insides.
Like an in-home move, we can have if you've got to move your furniture from like the living room to the garage so you could get your floors replaced, we could do that. Not your entrails or your innards, just your furniture, sir.
Yeah, we'll do your furniture, sir. I was telling him it's usually a two-man minimum because of liability purposes, and that way we can tag team his insides, but I mean,
we can bring if you've got anything large equipment that you need us to handle, we can bring black strap-ons to make sure we can lift those appropriately.
And this is truly the only horny brand content I support.
It's pretty there is nothing I love more on TikTok than the subgenre of really, really hot himbos responding with bemusement to their horny comments. Because the comments are they're just like next level horny.
Yeah. They have a great sense of humor about it. They're having a good time. They also just like they're really just, you know, like going along with it. They're good sports.
Have you ever had a hot mover? I've never had a hot mover.
One of the movers that moved me this summer was hot, but like not like exceedingly hot. I think I was just like, you know, I was like, oh, this is nice.
it just seems like a prime opportunity. Like it's a prime objectification opportunity, because they're like going upstairs and sweating and their flesh is glinting and they have like their muscles are bulging from carrying. I need to calm down. But This is too much. But yeah, brilliant idea for a moving company. Brilliant idea for a TikTok.
Yeah.
We salute you, moving himbos.
And thanks so much for listening to Don't Let This Flop This Week on TikTok, brought to you by Rolling Stone and Cumulus Podcast Network. Written and hosted by me, Brittany Spanos, and EJ Dixon. Executive produced by Jason Fine, Bridget Shelsey, and Elizabeth Garber-Paul. Edited by Dan Stein. And original music composed by Daniel Marsland.